you would think after 1 Timothy that things should be going great. 1 Timothy, Paul's getting a guy to ordain guys and to establish an assembly. And 1 Timothy, Paul is talking to his son in the faith about how deacons ought to be, and they need to be grave and not double-tongued. And he is putting people in mind to things of being a good minister, 1 Timothy chapter 4. He's giving instructions about elders in chapter 5. And you think when he writes the second letter, things would be rolling along smoothly. But they're not. You'd think by the time you got to 2 Timothy, with ordained elders and an assembly, just cutting a wide swath there where people had been worshiping Diana, that the issues would have been about the fruit of the Spirit. But they're not. Now, Galatians chapter 5 is a wonderful chapter in that in verses 17 to 23, it gives you one of the more stark contrasts that exists in the Word of God. It contrasts for you in verses 17 to 21 of Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, with then the Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23, fruit of the Spirit. And that contrast really makes some things simple to see. When you see the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, you know you've got that warfare in your members from Romans chapter 7. And the Spirit against the flesh, old Brother Roloff used to say that every Christian has got two dogs inside of him. A good dog and a bad dog.
Yeah.
And the one you feed, that's the dog that will win when there's a fight. So feed the good dog. Get in your Bible. And don't mess with the bad dog. Some people say there's no such thing as a bad dog.
Yeah.
The Spirit and the flesh lust against each other. And you get to a point where Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 something very similarly to what he says at the end of Romans chapter 7. That you cannot do the things that you would.
Yeah.
Remember Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would I do not, that I would not that I do, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? So we need to understand that there is this war in our members. What ought to be on exhibition in the believer's life is the fruit of the Spirit, not having been quenched by the lust of the flesh. We ought to be able to see more of the circumspect walk in newness of life and less of the old man. Well, when you get to 2 Timothy chapter 3, not only do we not have the fruit of the Spirit running rampant in the assembly, Paul is going against the works of the flesh in the assembly.
Yes.
And dealing with what's going on that hadn't ought to be there at all. And Paul is as plain spoken as he ever gets. When he's near death. Not a lot of time to equivocate. Not a lot of time to build a case. We got to get to the point here.
Yes.
And so he gets to the point. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Last days. Some folks want to make that the end of the prophetic age. It might be as simple as Paul's living in his last days. It's whatever you make it. You read what's in place and you think, well, that's kind of like now. So I'm not going to be arbitrary that we're living in the last days and that the rapture is going to be next Thursday. The word rapture is not in the Bible in the first place. But in these last days, Paul warns perilous times shall come. The thing about peril is that if you know it's perilous, you can avoid it.
Yes.
I was just talking about how I'd very much like to go to Philadelphia. and see the Liberty Bell and where Ben Franklin was and see those kinds of things. But I'm led to believe it's perilous.
Yes.
To go to Philadelphia.
Yes.
You go to Philadelphia in your nice paid for Jeep and you come home in an ambulance.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's what I want to do. So peril means if it's perilous, I should be able to identify that which is perilous and avoid it. If I know I'm living in perilous times, then I can read here a list of things that are perils that I can avoid.
Yes.
Now, Paul talks, he uses the word perils a lot. Perils of countrymen, perils of robbers, and all the perils that he spoke of in 2 Corinthians. Perilous times have certain attributes. And when he gives the list, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Woo! And that's just the choir. We do well to pay attention so that when these perils show up in our lives and we encounter perilous things going on, we can steer a course away from that. We can keep ourselves out of the morass and keep ourselves separate from it. Now, this is the only place in Paul's 13 books where he uses the term last days. He's not putting you in the prophetic program. No. I think it may be as simple as the fact that it's his last days. It's the last days of his ministry to Timothy. There's no question about that.
Yes.
From the revelation of the mystery, Acts chapter 9, until the reinstitution of the prophecy program in the body of Christ is gone, might well be that which constitutes the last stage, that time frame when it's no longer law but grace. And I'm just offering that as a thought, rather than making it something then that you can date for a week from Thursday.
Yeah.
It might just be that it is in this time frame where Satan's tactics have changed. People say he's about as a roaring lion. Peter warns of that to Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would Satan be as a roaring lion in the Hebrew epistles? Because Christ is going to return as the lion out of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
So Satan is a counterfeit.
Yes.
Now Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. That's not who he was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. So, Satan is as dispensational.
Yes.
As anything else is in your Bible. Things that are different, evil different.
Yes.
Satan does not show up as a lion to devour you today. He shows up as a light that draws you to it.
Yes.
And I get that from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And he has been so effective at it that he's got folks following that as if that was the course of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 6.
Yes.
So, the devil's not as dumb as folks make him out to be.
Yes.
He'll not show up in a red suit, standing on his tippy toes, on his calf's feet, with a spear and a trident in his hand.
No.
He'll show up as something bright and shiny. Now, there's the light of the glorious gospel. And if everything was in total darkness, the light of the glorious gospel would be conspicuous.
Yes, it would.
The best way to obfuscate the light of the glorious gospel is to put all these other lights out there.
Yeah.
Well, Buddhism, that's light, and then Muhammad and all of this. And so we've got all these competing religions where now the typical person thinks that they're all the same, trying to get to God different ways. Satan's got all these different lights out there.
He does.
Perilous times. We live in the dispensation of God's grace. We operate according to the revelation of the mystery. We don't preach Christ according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. That would be wrong for us to do. We learn from it, but we don't preach Him according to that. We preach Him, Romans chapter 16, verse 25, according to the revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
So, I'm not going to make this some prophetic overlap here when Paul uses these words, last days. I think that would be a mistake.
Amen.
I'm going to rather suggest it might be his last days or last days as a teacher on a personal level. On a doctrinal level, it might be that everything since Acts 9 would be in this time frame. It's clearly correct to say that right today, we've got churches that operate on the merits of ignorance. John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. It's dark out, people.
Yes.
The stone's gone. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, the Lord's gone. It's dark out.
Yes.
I don't care where you live. To get here, you had to drive past a church that had a sunrise service.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So many times, and Carol and I have weird conversations.
Yes.
She often says nobody would dare listen to us. But so many times I've said to her, I don't know why anybody would believe in Christianity.
Yeah. Anybody with a brain.
It's being portrayed. It's a pack of lies.
Yes.
The Pope goes to Cuba. First holiday that they've had since 1959 when Castro and communism took over. And the Pope goes and gets them to celebrate Good Friday. Mm. Which, number one, isn't real.
No.
And number two, isn't the point.
No.
The point was the resurrection, not the death. But, of
Amen.
Course, the emblem of Catholicism is Jesus on a stick.
Yes.
The Pope walks around with Jesus on. Every church got him hanging there. Perilous times. We live in a time when everyone on planet Earth opposes God. Everyone
yes.
who belongs here opposes God. If you're saved, you don't really belong here.
No.
You are an ambassador here.
Yes.
You are accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:6. So, you're here as an ambassador. This is not your home. You're going to die and go to heavenly places. Everyone who belongs here opposes God.
Yes.
You live in the time of the official rejection of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and His Holy Bible by the population of the world.
Yes.
And there's a small smattering of actually saved people. Not churchgoers, not people who call themselves Christians, but people who really have faith that Christ's payment for their sins was the source of expiation, and now they're saved by grace through faith, not by works of righteousness which they have done.
Yes.
Blood-bought Christians are becoming a decreasing percentage of the Earth's population.
Yes.
The fastest growing group, according to at least one poll I saw, is atheists. Gone from 6 to 16%. One of the things about atheism, one of the things about secular humanism, is it's about me.
Yeah.
Men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Yes.
Narcissism. Everyone wants their Warholian 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Personally, and I don't have a very informed opinion, so I need to say that. I think that's a lot of what the internet's about.
Mm-hmm.
Is to sing a song, or fall off something, or ski up onto the beach, do something that goes viral.
Yeah.
That's the objective.
You're right.
Everybody wants to be, if you're 20 or under, the next Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to have that Facebook video that goes berserk. And I don't think that stops with the unsaved people.
No.
And I think there's a lot of preachers doing, saying things, trying to be over the top on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, again, I don't have a very informed opinion, because if you've never met a person who has never, ever been on Facebook, now you have. There's several of them. Never been there.
I go to Facebook ministry. Well, great.
In Romans chapter 1, these are the people who profess themselves to be wise and became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creepy things like Easter bunnies.
Yes.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served, here it is, the creature, more than the Creator.
Yes.
That's humanism.
Yes.
That's all about me. So, the thing you have to do, if you are selfish and narcissistic, is adopt a child from Haiti.
Yeah.
Huh? Make a show. See, I'm wonderful. I knew it. Now you know.
Yeah.
Do something so the movie stars are standing in line to go kidnap these Haitian children.
Yes.
And that's what they're doing. Some of those kids are sold.
Yes.
But wasn't it Madonna who kidnapped a couple of them?
Well,
so they say. But that's what you do. Every bar in America has got Bunny Banks in it Saturday night.
Yes.
And they'll have a Christmas tree come fall.
Yes.
Because it's all about me, but I have to show you how wonderful I am.
Yeah.
Have to give back. Have to pay it forward. Don't you get tired of hearing that?
Yes.
Pay it forward. Let's see, Mr. Trump. You're worth how many B with a billion? And you give the charity $10,000. And you say you're paying it forward.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's better to give them nothing, but if you were really sincere, there'd be some more zeros on that, Jen.
Yeah.
They disguise their selfishness, and don't you dare judge their behavior.
Absolutely.
Anything they do is okay. You tell them that what they're doing is wrong, and you're a hater.
Yes.
It's my job to despise sinful behavior. It's who I am. One of the funniest things that you see go on is how politicians invoke God when they're trying to get elected.
Yeah.
After they're in, you're not going to hear much of them. It must be election time. I don't have the facts corroborated, but I heard it said on CNN.
Ooh.
Which is not the most trustworthy. That President Obama used the words God and Christ more in the last week than he had in 3 years.
Yes.
And they had numbers. But it's election time.
Yes, it is.
And he's got a stark raving bonkers Catholic running against a seasoned, experienced, and professional Mormon. Mm-hmm. If you think religion's not going to be out there as an issue come November, you haven't been paying attention.
Right.
Lovers of their own self. Research now says all this self-esteem stuff has gone too far.
Yeah.
And we now have children who have so much self-esteem, self is the only one they esteem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And everybody else, they'll bully, they'll beat up, they'll lie to, that their mom and dad are useless, they only esteem self.
Yeah.
I remember, man, this is a long time ago.
Isn't everything?
Isn't everything? Increasingly. I hit the game winning. It was a double to the opposite field. And we won the game. I hit the winning, and everybody got a certificate of participation.
Oh.
I thought, what? What? What kind of deal is that? So the achiever, he loses.
Yeah.
And the one that sat on the bench and didn't even know what was going on, spent the whole 9 innings blowing his nose. We all got the same. I hear that from Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
expecting fairness.
Yeah.
Help me out. They believe in evolution.
Yeah.
Which is survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
But they want an equal outcome for everybody. Fairness.
Mm. Mm.
They're lying one time or the other.
Yeah.
Kids are in Mexico with 23 chaperones, and it costs over $1 million for their vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Fairness.
Hmm.
Equal outcome for everybody. You're welcome to the vacation. Just quit lying to me about fairness.
Amen.
Never has been, never will be. Equality of opportunity is what the founding fathers talked about.
Yes.
Not equality of outcome.
Yes.
Those are two different things. You work hard, you get ahead. You lay around the house and eat bonbons. Oprah's ratings. Covetous, boasters, proud. Paul's writing this to Timothy. Paul's not writing this to the governor of Ephesus. So it might be well to consider the church crowd.
Yes.
Covetous. I can remember, and again it's a long time ago, we'd been in rented buildings. When it came to a point where we're pretty steadily 40, 50 folks, time to buy a real building. We cashed in a retirement CD and bought a building.
reach out from to throw letters.
The brother that used to work with you at General Motors
shows up with his wife and says,
"What noise that on?"
We don't have any more
desires. Let's see.
We cashed in our personal money to buy a building because we didn't want people to come and think that all we were about was fundraising and strapping them. They didn't want to buy a building.
Yeah.
Well, you can always add on. I was crushed.
Yeah.
What's the matter with what we got?
Yeah.
Look how clean it is. Look how nice it is. How serviceable it is. And there's no steeple on top. Because it used to be a job with the kingdom all. They don't have anything, right? Covetous. There's always a bigger building and a bigger parking lot. And the number one item is over a decade now. The churches are building are called family centers. And that's basketball and ping pong. And are they boasters about having the friendliest church in town?
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody but one has to be lying.
Yeah.
There can only be one friendliest church in town.
Yeah.
Fastest growing, best musicians. And when the musicians stink, you know what? That was anointed.
Yes.
That's how you cover bad music. It was anointed. Couldn't you feel it?
Yeah.
Gave me goosebumps. Sang a whole song, never hit one note. One friend of ours, he had gone to a voice teacher. Apparently his articulation wasn't good. So his voice teacher, his singing teacher, had him sing, "How Great Thou Art." Every time, it wasn't "How Great Thou Art." Apparently he slurred that, so they put an L in it. "How Great Thou Art." And it was anointed. Because on any other level, it's don't go nice. So you lie about it, and it's the best. Everything we do is right. Carol taught her kids when a tornado tore through the Zenith that it wasn't that God was mad at those churches. There were two churches got wiped out that Wednesday night. It wasn't that. But he spared ours because he does love us best, and the kids.
Time to start over with the
life. Time to start over, and they obviously did not understand. Covetous, boasted, proud. There's a level of pride today. And the Methodist ran a series of advertisements about how everybody's welcome. We don't judge anybody. Mm-hmm. Which leaves Paul out, because Paul says that he's the spiritual judges all things.
Yes.
And there is such a thing as right and wrong.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, blasphemers. I get so tired of bad language. Before the Lord saved me, I was a practitioner of it. Now, I think it would be good if they actually followed through in the public school system of banning God and Christ, because they're there as customers.
Yes.
Where did the kids learn that? God does damn.
Yes, he does.
The result is eternity in hell. Christ died on the cross to deal with that problem.
Yes.
trusting his payment for your sins. So all this damning by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, disobedient to parents. We're now seeing a level of rebellion. I think was pretty much unknown in the previous generations.
Yes.
There's obvious extremes like the Menendez boys, but anymore, it's kind of coin of the realm for tweeners and teens to be anti-parent.
Yeah.
As if that's somehow a badge of honor. When the kids won't have any better help than the parent. Why is it a badge of honor to be a single parent? Maybe there's a need for both of you. Disobedient to parents. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. So, children are grown up without any knowledge.
Yes.
They need direction.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, I'm thankful. My. Folks go to church to get from God.
Yes.
Folks go to church making a deal with God.
Yep.
If people understood God's given everything he's going to.
Yeah.
I think the churches would be empty. He saves your soul. He completes you in Christ. He puts you in heavenly places. He gives you everlasting, eternal life. He's not giving you a sunshiny day. He's not giving you air in your tires. He's not giving you the new job. He's not giving you the Christian dating system. Internet site now has over 2 million participants. Sometimes God gives us a mate. Other times we have to
help.
You've all heard the commercial. Mm-hmm. Got to help God out.
Yeah.
By looking for.
Oh yeah.
2 million. I think to myself, 2 million people, lonely, trying to get something done. They're churchgoers. How many Christians do you suppose are in that 2 million? I'm thankful. People pray to get. Deal making. The way you can check your own meter is look at your prayer list. You keep a list of things that are subject of ongoing prayer. Are any of them in the spirit of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, or are every one of them a menu of demands? Save this one, heal that one, give me this and do that. Rather than in everything give thanks. We're to be a thankful people.
Yes.
Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Be ye thankful. It's an acquired attribute, thankfulness. You don't come by it naturally. Naturally, you're greedy, covetous, narcissistic, all those bad things. That's who the old man is.
Yeah.
I want it. Now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, the last word in that verse is unholy. Churches have become pretty unholy places.
Yes.
Now, much of it started, the crack in the door is I see. My, I wrote a newspaper column on this 25 The title was Whatever Happened to Godly Men. The function of music is to admonish and to teach.
Yes.
I know that because I can read.
Yeah.
And right there it is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Music is not to entertain, it is not to get your toes a tapping. Let's hear it for the cathedrals, then they get your toes a tapping. My toes don't need to tap. I need admonished.
Yeah.
I need taught.
Yes.
I didn't go to a church in order to be entertained. I'm supposed to hear psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. So rather than the flip-flop that has taken place is really incredible. If you back away far enough and look at a couple thousand years of history, it used to be, if you were a great composer, you wrote great music about the Lord. If you were a great artist, you drew biblical scenes. If you were a great sculptor, Michelangelo, there's daily biblical scenes. Now, if you're an artist, you sing about drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
Yes.
And the church copies the world.
Yes.
We got Christian rock and Christian rap and Christian this and Christian that. It used to be the Lord was the centerpiece.
Yes.
And artists and artisans represented the Lord in the Bible. I'm not saying their doctrine was right, but that's what they did.
Yes.
Now, artists and artisans are being copied by the church. We want to be like them. Well, fat lot of good it's doing them.
Amen.
They're dropping into hell.
Yes.
And we want to be like them.
Yes.
How dare anybody who calls himself a preacher or teacher say his church is seeker friendly when the Bible says nobody's seeking after God? Clearly, he doesn't know in the Bible to get out of his own way.
Yes.
To the Salem Avenue Christian Bookstore, owner, operator, 62 hours a week, manager, and all of that kind of stuff. And here comes somebody from the Salem Avenue Church of God. Would I please sell their tickets for their evening service? They were going to have the Oldhams.
Oh boy.
And it was going to be $3 at the door. I was incredulous. Seriously?
Yeah.
You're selling tickets for a church service? And they said, I'm sorry, I don't think I can do that. I just don't think I can do that. Well, they were mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You call it a service. That word used to mean you serve them.
Yeah.
You're not they pay you to get in.
Yeah.
Back then, it was $3. Mm-hmm. Sunday night. What now? It's all the time they're doing that kind of stuff.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, without natural affection. It's sad. A man can go to church for 20 years and hear all there is to hear about liberation theology and tell you that Romans is an obscure book.
Yeah.
And he'd rather go by what Jesus said than the obscure book of Romans. Where Romans speaks against homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a Harvard educated president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
Yeah.
What are the chances now that he'll ever come here? That he'll ever listen?
Yeah.
He needs saviors like everybody else.
Amen.
We take the Peter Cartwright approach toward that. He needs saviors like everybody else.
God gave much of vile affections. I'm sorry, people. It's vile.
Yes.
We don't talk about things much.
No.
But what these folks do is vile.
Yes.
When you find out, I don't want to park here. It's uncomfortable. The physical activities with which these people engage, it's dirty.
Yes.
It breeds disease. Vile's the right word. And the end result does not produce children.
No.
The functionality is wasted on these people. And you correct me when I'm wrong, I don't mind. You get a pair of lesbians, when they adopt, you tell me what they get. They get a girl every time. You get a pair of homosexual men, you tell me what they adopt.
Yeah.
I've yet to hear one that was the opposite. Yet, and I smell a rat.
Yes.
A vile rat. As that. You want to talk about, they have something they call water sports. You want to get into that?
No.
Vile. I think if homosexuality is such a desirable thing and not to be condemned in any sense, it ought to be demonstrated on the Jerry Springer Show. I think his audience is ready for it.
Oh, man.
I said for years. I said it so long Phil Donahue was on.
Wow.
I said it that long ago. That if abortion's this wonderful thing, you ought to show a few of them on TV and let people see what happened.
Yeah.
It's a baby in the bucket. Really.
Yeah.
Suck out an arm, suck out a leg, you know. Put that on TV. Let everybody see what it is. We hide things.
Mm-hmm.
Folks don't see the reality of it. Without natural affection. Here you've got ladies writing books, telling us how to live our lives and what we ought to think. As a commentator on not one, but two networks. This Rachel Maddow lady. Proud of her lesbianism, proud of her homosexuality, and she has fed to this. And she turns around and thanks Ellen, and Ellen turns around. Without natural affection. Wonder how much grid has cost our health care system.
Yeah.
GRID, gay-related immune deficiency is what they call it. They call it before they call it AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
They just need saved.
Amen.
Truce breakers. In Egypt, we applauded the Arab Spring. One of our administration's representatives said the Muslim Brotherhood is a secular organization. I mean, huh? Now, every promise the Muslim Brotherhood made, they have broken. They said they would not run a candidate for president. They are. They said they would run for a maximum of 8 seats. They control both houses.
Yes, they do.
It's their president and install Sharia law. Mm-hmm. Every truce, every deal they ever made will have been broken.
Yeah.
But when Sharia law's in, it's in.
Oh, yes.
I'm old enough to remember when the Communist Party in the United States held some sway. And I'm thinking, they're running in our democratic republic system. If you elect them, that's the end of the democratic republic system.
Yeah.
It's going to be communists. Truth breakers.
Yeah.
False accusers. That's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-axis sensationalism is a cult. Mark Moma says McLean teaches cult garbage.
Yeah.
And he's pretending he's a mid-axe dispensation.
Yeah.
You can't take the Bible literally. King James Bible had mistakes in it. No Bible's perfect. False accusers.
Yeah.
You know, when we get accused, rightly or wrongly, it doesn't have great consequence, maybe to us personally, and it's hurtful. You get tired of it. But if you accuse the Bible of having mistakes in it, you set something in motion that has consequences beyond you can even imagine.
Yes.
Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." You and I are going to wear some of that. It's going to happen. Somebody in your family is going to say you think you're better than everybody else. Somebody in your workplace is going to say, well, you think you're smarter than everybody else. They're going to call you behind your back, goody goody two shoes, and that'll be the nice thing they call you. So, one of the things that now books are being written as to why the red states and the blue states and the mentalities of left and right are so different, why that is, where that comes from. And finally, I can hardly wait to read it. There's a book out that says it's a function of worldview.
What is it from?
It's a function of being paternalistic about the world, or operating in it knowing that it's an uphill climb your whole life.
Yeah.
It's a worldview battle. Oh yeah. It is that.
Yes.
So here we are. Nobody knows anything of you or me. And yet, they all have an argument ready against us, so apparently they heard us. They're all ready to call us a name, so apparently
yeah.
they heard us. Which fits with 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, as unknown and yet well known. We're not in any of the history books of Christianity, and yet we've got too much right to be dismissed and disregarded. Since we don't fit into the mainstream, you've got to hate that. Despisers are men that are good. We'll stop there and we'll pick up with this no more Mr. Nice Guy part of 2 Timothy chapter 3 next time.